is the 6th of October, 2024, the second day of our retreat together. And now we have the opportunity to set our minds on the listening to the Dhamma, the teachings of the Buddha, so that we can understand the way of practice, to bring our minds to suffer less. In order to suffer less, we need to have wisdom. And this quality of samadhiti, right view, which is seeing birth, old age, sickness, death, separation from the loved, not getting what we want, these are all suffering or stressful. Or to be with that which we don't like, it's also stressful or dukkha. So we know this, we come to practice on retreat, and we've heard this before, but we're not yet able to know it. We don't know dukkha, we don't know suffering in truth, but we keep building the causes for suffering to arise. We keep creating the causes for stress to arise. Because when we know dukkha in truth, we see its cause, which is craving and attachment, tanha and upadana. So we practice to abandon that craving and attachment so that suffering doesn't arise. A comparison or simile we can make is that these five aggregates, this body and mind, rupa and nama, the body, feeling, perception, formations, consciousness, it's like a hot iron ball. Wherever we touch it, on the top, on the bottom, the left or the right, anywhere, it's all hot all over. So these five aggregates, this body and mind, when this citta, this mind clings to it, has attachment, wherever it has attachment and suffering arises right there. So we see that ignorance, craving and attachment is the cause for suffering to arise. And no one wants suffering, we all want wisdom. But whatever the case, we need to practice with a mind of letting go. We don't practice with a mind of craving. Because if we practice, or we have this craving like we want to become, we want to have, we want to be, then that's just more suffering. So we do it with the attitude of letting go. Sometimes in the course of training the mind becomes still. Some days the mind is still. Some days the samadhi is good, the peacefulness and collectedness is there, the thoughts reduce, the body and mind feel light, the mind's joyful and spacious, and this can go on throughout a whole day. So know that experience. And some days the mind is chaotic and agitated, not peaceful or collected. So again, we know that it's like this. Whether the mind's peaceful or not, the mind is just the mind. It's not a me, a mine, a you or yours, not a self. So we let go. We have mindfulness. If we get a lot of samadhi, then we don't become overly excited or happy about it. And if the mind's very agitated and chaotic, we don't get too unhappy about that, but we let go. So we practice like this. See that our foundation is the foundation of generosity and virtue. So we study the Four Noble Truths. Having understood that, we train, we have effort to practice, like on this retreat that we're all doing. Cultivate samadhi, this collectedness. And sometimes we feel that being in society or being at work is very chaotic or not peaceful. So we have mindfulness to know that experience, to know it in the present moment. Whatever sense, impression, or mood arises, we see, are we liking it or disliking it? And if this liking and disliking means we're lost already, the mind that's liking or attracted to things, it's lost already in this or that. So we see these sense impressions arise and the mind proliferates based on them. So that's delusion right there. That's the mind being lost in attraction or aversion. So we teach the mind not to cling, not to grasp, that it's unstable, it's uncertain. If the mind has peacefulness, then it's easy to teach. But the mind that's not peaceful doesn't listen much. It's just the strength or energy, the mindfulness, the samadhi, they're weak, and so wisdom is weak as well. But never mind about that. Don't worry about that. When we are at that point, we have patient endurance, or kanti. If there's liking, then we know it. If there's disliking, then we know it. We patiently endure it first. We want to overcome it or want success, but we can't at that moment. So we patiently endure it first. This quality of patient endurance, it's the wealth of a practitioner. We patiently endure well, and this is our sila parami, our spiritual perfection of virtue. And the sila parami is very important. We patiently endure. We have attraction, aversion, love, hate, greed, hatred, delusion. We patiently endure with it. We don't act on it. In this way, we're able to control the defilements, the kilesas. The kilesas are there, but they can't do anything. We struggle against them, make an effort to suppress them, to not act on them, and that's virtue. So we control the defilements with samadhi as well. So we have kilesa, and we learn to control them first. Like putting a rock on top of grass. The roots are still there, but the grass can't grow. And whenever we lift up the rock, then the grass can grow again, because the roots are still there. So in the same way, samadhi controls the defilements. So we do that first. And we see, well, how do the defilements arise? Well, there's sense contact, and based on that, there's feeling tone. Based on that, there's craving and attachment, there's birth, becoming, and suffering. So we have to be very careful at the point of attachment, upadana. We have mindfulness right there, mindfulness with the nose and odors, with the body and touch, with the ear and sounds, with the eye and visual forms, with the tongue and tastes, with the mind and mind objects. We see that kilesa arises right there. Liking and disliking arise right there. And so therefore we're careful right there. We have mindfulness to follow and watch over the mind. Whether standing, sitting, walking, or lying down, we keep a watch over the mind. So we train and practice like this. We endeavor in this way. And we reflect, what is it that makes the mind not peaceful? It's these old friends of ours that we've been tied together with for a long time already. It's proliferation, busyness of mind, wanting results quickly, wanting things quickly, having doubt. So these are all kilesa, or craving. We fear that we're going the wrong way, going off the right path. We want results very quickly. The more we want quick results, the more doubts we get. We get a great deal of doubt. And this makes our mind not peaceful. And there's anger, ill will, greed and wanting. These thoughts of hurting or harming lead the mind to be agitated and troubled. Similarly with greed, proliferating based on greed. The mind is troubled and agitated. So we want certain things or like certain things. And the mind proliferates on all these different moods and sense impressions based on the past, or proliferates based on the future, that which is not yet arisen. But the Lord Buddha taught to be in the present. So we train the mind to have peacefulness and collectedness in the present. So therefore we need a meditation object, a kamatana. The mind needs to have an object of attention. If we don't have the kamatana, then it doesn't work. So we need to train the mind that's thinking, proliferating. There's liking, there's proliferating on that, disliking, then there's proliferation based on that, annoyance or ill will, greed, restlessness, sleepiness, drowsiness, doubt. The mind proliferates based on all these. So what do we then do? When we come to sit meditation, to be with the breath, or to contemplate the body as a heap of earth, air, fire, and water, a heap of natural elements. We see that having been born, the body starts out with small cells. Then these cells receive food, and they grow, they divide, they multiply, they form into the organs, both small and large. And this happens all the way up until the present. And the mind has attachment and clinging to all that already, ever since birth. And that's becoming right there, clinging to these four elements, whether small, in small groups or large groups, clinging to all this earth, air, fire, and water as self. And having grown up already, then it's all self. It's just me, mine, and self. This is the mind being lost in convention, thinking, this is my father, this is my mother, this is my family, my body. Everything is me and mine. This is a cause for suffering to arise. Then when the body changes, then it's me or I who is aging, or the me is getting sick, or the me who dies. And this makes the mind troubled and agitated. But in truth, these natural elements of earth, air, fire, and water, they don't know anything about this. If there's unhappiness, the natural elements don't know about it. If there's happiness, the elements don't know about it. These elements are just of nature, as part of nature, earth, air, fire, and water. When they fall apart and degrade and disintegrate, then they don't know anything about that. It's just this citta, this mind, comes to use these elements and then clings to them as my home, as mine. And this leads to suffering because of this attachment. So we need to train and practice to contemplate. If we're proficient in contemplation, then we contemplate the body as falling apart, as degrading, these four natural elements as falling apart, degrading, disintegrating, dissolving, and we see that there's nothing there. So the practitioner contemplates like this, to see the body as composed of natural elements, and we separate it out into the different elements. We separate out into earth. The earth degrades, disintegrates, dissolves until there's nothing left. There's nothing there. And the water disintegrates, dissolves, until there's nothing there. The air disintegrates, dissolves, until there's nothing there. The fire disintegrates, dissolves, until there's nothing there. You see, there's nothing there at all. Earth, air, fire, and water. It all degrades and passes away. There's nothing there. So where is the self to be found then? So the mind contemplates like this. In this way can see not self and can let go. This is the mind that lets go of the body. So we do this often, and if we let go just once, the mind is free. The mind exits the world of convention and sees liberation, sees vimutti, sees this emptiness that's pure, a pure emptiness. This is the mind that's close to seeing the Dhamma, that which we call the Gotrabhu Jitta, Gotrabhu Jnana, or the knowledge, or the mind and knowledge of the change of lineage. So understanding this, we see that it's just like this. All this practice that we've done already, all the doubts we've had, all those doubts are now gone. We start to see the truth. Mind's peaceful, well established in samadhi and stable, and then it's easy to do. The mind gathers, the body and mind feel light, there's rapture and happiness, a great amount of strength and energy there. And if there's a lot of strength and energy, the mind can go to one point. There's no thoughts at all. It's like looking at a clock and the clock doesn't move. Even if we want to think, the mind doesn't think. And we might feel like, well, what is this? Before we used to think a lot, then we kept practicing, the thoughts reduced. And now the thoughts are able to stop completely. This is samadhi arising. So we might have doubts about this, but we study about it and we see, oh, it's the still mind. That's the still mind. And we exit from that stillness and the mind starts to receive moods and sense impressions again. And the mind starts to proliferate just a little bit. So we contemplate right there. Contemplate the body as earth, air, fire, and water. And separate it out. But we see it degrade and disintegrate, but we're not yet able to see anatta. But then more strength and energy arises, and then we're able to see anatta, not self. We see there's nothing there. The mind is empty. And this is the feeling in the mind. We're able to overcome the state of being a beautiful being to being a noble being, an Aryachana. We go from Lokiya, from worldly, to Lokuttara, beyond the world. We go from the near shore to the further shore. And it can come to the point where we have one foot on the near shore and one foot on the far shore. As if it's a river, we have one foot on one side of the river, one foot on the other side. And we read in the text and we don't, based on the text, we don't understand, well, having seen already, why don't we just go to the other shore completely? Why is there one foot on the near shore and one foot on the further shore? Why don't we just go all the way there? But then once we practice, we understand that the strength of our spiritual virtues are not yet ready, that they're still clinging to the body. So we see this sometimes, but we're not able to completely go yet. We don't see 100% yet, but we're starting to see. The mind is starting to see Lokuttara, that which is above and beyond the world. And this is the mind that's good, that's pure, it's empty, but they're still clinging to rupa and nama, to body and mind. But we know the way, we know the path, we've seen true happiness already. So we come to sit meditation, walk meditation. We establish mindfulness, we train like this, we have effort to bring the mind to stillness again. And then one day we see clearly, wisdom arises, understanding arises, the mind changes, going from Lokiya, worldly, to Lokuttara, beyond the world. We see the Dhamma clearly. And when this happens, what do we abandon? What do we cut off? We abandon this clinging to things as me and mine, a self. We see not self. We see it clearly. So we feel light in our practice. But in the beginning, we train first. We make faith firmly established. And all we need to do is just change our view. Go from clinging to things of self to seeing not self. And when this happens, rapture can arise for 3 days and 3 nights, or 7 days and 7 nights. The heart feels very full and complete and content. There's this understanding that in truth there's nothing there, that everything in the world is just these four natural elements, that all bodies must die, that everyone in the world, every being must die, and what do we take with us when we die? So the mind sees like this, and arising from faith, we make merit, we do goodness, we practice generosity and virtue, cultivating the mind to make the mind peaceful, to bring the mind to purity. Because we see that these qualities of greed, aversion, and delusion, they torture the mind greatly, bring about a great deal of stress and suffering. We don't like that, we don't want that. We see that these qualities of greed, wanting, attraction, aversion, ill will, hatred, they bring about a great deal of suffering. So therefore we cultivate mindfulness and wisdom in order to control the defilements. And then we contemplate to abandon the defilements, to be able to do that. In this way, the experience of Dhamma arises. We see that everything in the world is on fire. Everything is burning. So in the world we may hear about war arising, or wars starting, wars coming into being. And we see that we're all close to death. It's not just the people close to the areas of war that are close to death, but we're all close to death. There's no one who escapes old age, sickness, and death. But this fire covers over the whole world. A war may arise here or there, but in truth, everyone in the world will die. So this knowledge arises, insight arises, and the mind seeks a way out of this predicament, out of this suffering. So when we start to see like this, then we go on retreat, we practice, we give up our time, we give up the pleasure and ease of the world, which is something that doesn't last. And we come on retreat to train the mind in the meditation object, to practice, to cultivate generosity, virtue, meditation, to care for the Buddha's dispensation, to make merit, and to do that a lot. And we do merit, and we do goodness for the sake of abandoning defilement. We don't do merit for the sake of getting the results of merit, because the results of merit we are getting already. But what we really want is to not have greed, aversion, or delusion. So we set our hearts on this practice and this training of the mind, just like we see the monastics gathered here who have this firm intent to practice and train the mind. And they all want this true happiness of mind. So gathering together, there's kilesa in the mind. And then when we exit the range retreat, the monastics having entered the range retreat, then exiting the range retreat soon, there's the invitation for admonishment and giving of forgiveness for one another. In this way, we don't carry any anger going forward. So there might have been anger in the past, but we forgive, we let go, we don't cling to the past. It's already arisen and ceased already. So we establish the mind in the present. We see that it's not that, oh, this person did that, or that person did this to me or mine, because that makes the mind agitated because it's all wrapped up with a sense of self. But in truth, there's no self there. It's all anatta, or not self. It's just ignorance proliferating in the mind, giving rise to conditioned formations. So we see, well, why should I be angry? Who is there to be angry with? This anger is just the kilesas proliferating in the mind. And so we practice to give forgiveness which is the magga, the path. So we need to be careful with this point. We see that the defilements fight with the path, the kilesas fight with magga. So we practice to give forgiveness, which is a type of generosity. We give external or material things, which brings a great deal of benefit, but this giving on the inner level brings even greater benefit. So we control the defilements, we control ill will, and when we're able to do that, then it's easy to make the mind peaceful. We cultivate the divine abiding of loving kindness, metta brahmavihara, to care for the mind. So we train and practice like this, to be with the breath, to be with Bhutto. If the mind's very busy and agitated, then we chant a lot, we chant quickly, in order to bring the mind to peace and collectedness. So we do this every day, and in the end the mind gathers in samadhi and peacefulness. And it's similar to the feeling where we get hungry for food, but the mind feels like it's hungry for samadhi or wants samadhi. We come to sit for an hour, we feel very at ease, or we sit for 2 hours, and that's even better if we have the time. So we keep training, and in the end we're able to understand the Dhamma, understand the path clearly. Suffering reduces. And this is walking the path of sila, samadhi, panya, our virtue, collectedness, and wisdom. We have right view. In the end, the mind gathers in peace, and we can control the defilements. And based on that peace and samadhi, then we contemplate with wisdom, contemplate these four elements as empty in order to abandon the defilements. And then in the end, we're able to cut off the defilements. This is what we call sotapanna, or entering the stream. And what is this stream? It's cutting off attachment. It's not that there's a self or a me or a mind, it's not that the I or the self enters the stream, but what it is, it's cutting off the defilement. Just in terms of convention, we call it entering the stream. But it's not that we try to get that, not that we try to get sotapanna, but what our effort is directed at is to abandon defilement. What we make effort for is to let go or cut off defilement, to change our view. In terms of samuti or convention, we call it sotapanna or stream enter. And all of you are walking on the path to stream entry. So may you all set your hearts on this. Today is the second day of our retreat together. So may you all have minds that are collected and peaceful. May you meet with true happiness. May you grow in blessings.